Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you. Wow, was that a great worship set or what? Man, give our worship team a thanksgiving unto God. Man, it's just good that you're here today and we're here together. Last service was just unbelievable. God spoke to so many people. Lives were changed. And I know this one is no different because he's not a respecter of persons. And you're here. And we welcome you. Those of you that are our guests today, we're glad you're here. Glad I got to meet some of you. And just want you to know that if I haven't told you lately, Anita and I love you. We're on this journey together. And I'm just so glad that the Lord put us together. Well, if you came in today... Hey, how many of you were here last week and you received your little smooth stone? All right, would you raise your hand? Did you bring it back with you? Okay, good. And when you came in today, I mean, you were asked two or three times, would you like to receive a stone or however somebody said that to you? And if you got this far and you didn't get one, our ushers are coming just now, and I want you to have one today and hold it because we're going to talk about it in a minute. So the ushers come on, and if you need one of these, if you didn't get a little smooth stone, just raise your hand, keep it up until they give you one because we're going to do some stuff with it today. When you look at that smooth stone, you know, it looks small, and it may even feel ordinary. But it's not ordinary. It's something that's so very, very special. Yeah, keep your hands up. They're a little tardy today. Ushers are wore out because it's been a while, all right? And they're doing great, all right? Give our ushers a hand. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. Yeah, we got a whole section over here, too. So let's be sure we take care of that. Back in the reality, I'm going to wait till you get yours together. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. Yeah, looking good. Looking good to get your stone. We love that. We're not going to throw it at you, but I want you to have one of those today because we're studying the book of Nehemiah. How many of you already started reading through Nehemiah? Isn't it a great story? It's just really wonderful. Great job, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is not just an ordinary stone. Think about this. In what a stone can do in certain hands. For instance, a small stone in the hand of David could bring down a giant. The stones that were burned out in Jerusalem, Nehemiah, those are a lot bigger than this, was able to see rebuilt and put back in the wall. But before any stone can be set in place, as in Nehemiah rebuilding, first of all, a vision has to rise. Say vision. Somebody has to see it, believe in it. Here's what we know about Nehemiah. This is kind of a little review from last week. Nehemiah looked at what everybody else walked past. They saw ruins, but instead of seeing ruins, he said, well, that's how it used to be, but that's not how it's going to stay. There are areas in your life today that you know God has shown you, but you're unsettled. You're saying, no. Right now, we may be struggling financially, in our marriage, with our kids, in my destiny, whatever God's will. Right now, maybe struggling in that area, but that's not the way it's going to stay because I know God's working in my life and I'm going to fulfill what he's asked me to do. So today, I'm not just going to give you a history lesson about rebuilding the gates and the wall of Jerusalem, but I want to talk to you about how God has a plan for you. And don't walk by what's broken that God may want to use you to help mend and rebuild. Maybe you walk by broken homes. You know people that their marriage is coming apart, or maybe it's even you today. But don't settle and say, well, that's how it's going to be. Or maybe kids that are lost and away from God. Don't settle. Don't just accept the fact that they're that way, or divided churches, or untended callings, or spiritual walls that we have in our own life that need to be rebuilt for protection. Here's the truth. God never gives just one person all the strength to rebuild. Everything he does through one person is that he gives them a vision to gather a team. Say team. I think Michael Jordan said that an individual or a player can win a game, but it takes a team to win a championship. In God's economy, he works through teams. Say teams. We're going to be talking a lot more about teams in the next few weeks. In fact, I wore my team jacket today to show you. See, I want you to see the back of it. It says, we what? You don't know yet. All right, we're getting a picture of it. What's it say? We go together, not alone. Say it together. We go together, not alone. Look at your neighbor and say, we go together, not alone. And that's how it is. It's not, you know, when I look at this church and I think of how the 30 years ago we started, and man, I'm just so glad that I didn't have to do it alone. I'm so glad that you came along. Some of you have been with us for long time. How many of you have been here at the Father's house for at least, let's say 15 years or more? Raise your hand. Look at all this. Look at all these, man. Yeah, I just thank God for you. And you know what? There's no chopped liver in the Father's house. It doesn't matter if you were here on a first meeting or you're here today. God is gathering you to team up with us and to make a difference in your life and in a difference in our community. Amen? So today we're faced with the same question Nehemiah had. Will I rise and gather a team and rebuild what was broken? Or will I just leave the rubble the way it is? Because the ruins won't build themselves. Broken homes won't rebuild themselves. Lost lives will not be put together by themselves. God's vision is always looking for willing hands. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we just sense your presence all morning. It's been so great. Lives have been changed. Destinies and journeys have been altered. And God, we give you all the glory today. Now, Lord, as I come into this teaching again today, I pray that you'll help me to say exactly what you want me to say. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. And Father, at the end of today, most important thing, more than anything else, that you will be glorified, magnified, lifted up to your rightful position of all glory and all honor. Second of all, that your people that are here today will be edified, built up, encouraged, given a vision for their own life. And then thirdly, Lord, we thank you in advance that the enemy will be terrified in the name of Jesus. All right, so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to pick up today. I'm going to give you some points out of here that you can take notes with today to sort of help us. Now, if you weren't here last week, let me encourage you to go back and listen to last week's teaching. Every week, we're going to build on top of each other for all of this month of August, and we're going to walk through this study of Nehemiah. But the first thing I'd like to share with you today, if you're taking notes, is just simply this. Be willing to pay the price. Say that with me. Be willing to pay the price. Be willing to pay the price. Nehemiah's first move, when he saw the broken down, he asked the question, how's it going back in Jerusalem? How's the Father's house going? How's God's house doing? How's his church going? And they said, it's not going so good. We're in distress. We're being persecuted. We're approached. Now remember, the walls and the city have been demolished for over 150 years. And 50 years ago, there was a group that went back to rebuild the temple. They got the temple rebuilt, but the walls weren't built, so there was no protection for the city. Nobody was living in the city. It was just the building was there. Weren't people, but the building was there. Now, 50 years later, God gives heart to Nehemiah to ask, how's the Lord's work going? And they said, it's terrible, it's horrible. And instead of Nehemiah saying, well, man, I wish somebody could have done something about that. Nehemiah, remember last week, he said, I sat down, I began to weep, I began to mourn, because my heart began to break that God's house was in ruin. And he said, I began to pray and ask God a four-month prayer, remember? A four-month prayer between chapter 1 and chapter 2. And now we come to chapter 2. He's been praying, he's been fasting, he's been aligning his heart with God. And you cannot build anything lasting without a sacrifice and a risk. Do you believe that? You cannot build anything lasting without a sacrifice and a risk. Many of you are here today, and we have a lot of business owners here in the Father's house. How many of you are business owners? Would you raise your hand? Just hold it up high. Yep, look at the hands going up all around. And your business, no matter how long it's been, God has kept you there, and it hasn't been easy. If it was easy, somebody else would have done it, right? People come along and they want to come to you after all the tasks are done and after the hard work, and they want to just ride on. And so we like teams, but I just honor you today and know that you can't build anything lasting without sacrifice and risk. When we started the Father's House 30 years ago, it was a big risk. And it was a big sacrifice for us to come. We didn't know just a couple of people that we met that was here. And so we stepped out by faith. We had no financial backing of anyone. We didn't have an organization that was backing us. We just knew that God had given us a heart for this place. And so we said, well, what if we step out and what if it's a failure? That came to my mind. I mean, how many of you started your business or your practice? And you thought, well, what if I start and it's a failure? But guess what? What if it was a success and how that God has blessed you? So when I looked up here, I looked at the worship team today with all the different ethnicities that are up here, the different colors, the different backgrounds. And I look and I think, and I look across this audience the same way. And I think, man, God, you've done good. Beyond myself. You've worked beyond me and done something good. If you feel that way about this house, just give the Lord a hand clap. But now, we don't come to a place that we say, oh, wow, we've arrived. We've arrived. As long as there's one more soul that's lost in our community, we haven't arrived. As long as every seat is not filled in this service and maybe multiple services and more campuses, we haven't arrived. If we haven't heard the trumpet sound and seen him come in the clouds, we haven't arrived. And until that day, we will continue to sacrifice and we will continue to step out and walk on water if we have to, but believe the Lord will be with us. So let's jump into the passage today. You got your Bibles? I hope you do. Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be just looking through and massaging these scriptures and letting the Lord speak to us today. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, that's not the automobile, that's the month of April, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. You remember he said, I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah was a servant to the king. He was a young kid that was raised in exile. And so he gets a job. I mean, he's serving the kings. A cupbearer was a person who tasted everything before the king did, who ate everything before the king ate it. And so the king would watch. And if the cupbearer didn't die, then the king knew it was safe because a lot of people wanted to get the king out of the way and take over and throw a coup. So Nehemiah said, all these years I served the king, I was never sad. Because you see, it was illegal in the Persian Empire to have a frown or to be sad in the presence of the king. In fact, when you came into the area where the king was, you often put your hand in front of your mouth so that, I was listening to this today, some historical things about it. You put your hand in front of your mouth so if you had bad breath, it wouldn't get on the king. I mean, that's how it was. So Nehemiah said, I was there that day and I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you're not sick, well, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. And I became dreadfully afraid. You ever wonder why he became dreadfully afraid? Because since it was not legal to be sad in the front of the king, when the king noticed that his face was sad, Nehemiah thought, well, the next thing he can do is he can take my head off because I'm treading on a place where you should not be. But you see, what Nehemiah didn't understand in that moment was that God was already setting him up for what God wanted to reveal and how that God wanted to touch the heart of the king. The scripture says the heart of the king is in the hand of God. So it's not by accident that was happening. And so he said, I was dreadfully afraid. But he said, he was willing to take a risk and pay a price. Nehemiah could have easily said, oh, excuse me, it was the pesto I had earlier. The goat was bad that I tried on tried myself. No. It's now or never. If God's work is so important, and God's laid a burden on my heart to do something I don't even know how to do, and God is just opening up a door, and I don't know how the door will open, I don't know what will happen. So he said, I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to just be honest with the king of what's on my heart. So I said to the king, verse 3, may the king live forever. A little respect there. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Why should not be sad? If God's house is a reproach, if people are not honoring God, if people are walking away from God, if families are broken and destroyed, if cities are in turmoil because of racial divide or economic divide, but God has called the church to be a light in a community, how can my heart not be troubled when I see something that's not what God wants? And then the king said, I love this. Look how God works. Then the king said to me, I mean, can't you imagine 100 thoughts are going through Nehemiah's mind? Okay, I took a risk here. I stepped out. And the king could say, you're fired. Or the king could say, get out of here. Or the king could say, you better change your attitude, boy. You work for me, and you can't be focused on anything else. But notice the king says, okay, what do you request? Are you kidding me? He's just writing a check here. What do you request? I love Nehemiah. So he said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Now that wasn't a long prayer. He didn't say, excuse me, I'm going to kneel down and pray in tongues for about 5 minutes. Let me see what the Lord will say. No, it's one of those internal prayers that we've all prayed. Like, help me. Right. Prayed a prayer like that. Give me the words. What do I say? How do I respond? Can I ask something so big, so awesome, that I can't make half of myself? What is it that God needs to do in your life that's so big, so awesome, that you can't make it happen yourself? But yet he says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. He said, ask, seek, knock. And so here we are. That's what we do when we come in prayer, right? So I pray to the God of heaven quickly, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you, send me. Say, send me. Send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers, that I may rebuild it. Can you imagine the words coming out of his mouth? Renee, he's never built anything in his life. And out of his mouth comes, I pray that you'll send me on this assignment that God has laid on my heart, that I can fulfill this assignment. Some of you very soon will be called to the mission field to do short-term or maybe long-term. And you've pushed it aside. My goal is that every person that attends the Father's house will put their boots on the ground somewhere outside the United States to see how big his church really is. I've been in 75 nations of this world, and I tell you, the church is a whole lot bigger than Southern Bible Belt where we live right now, right? So he said, send me that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him. When you look at that in the original language, it's the queen mother, which would have been the grandmother of the king, and that would have been none other than Esther, because his dad was Xerxes, number one, Ahasuerus, and so he married Esther after Esther brought him forth. So it probably is in all possibility that was Esther sitting on. Now, wouldn't they give him a little confidence? Wouldn't that give him a little confidence that, no, here's a Jewish lady sitting here, and she's as concerned about the work as I am? So he said, and that's why the parenthesis is there. And so the king said, how long is your journey going to be? When will you return? So it pleased the king, and I set him a time. And notice he's been 4 months praying. He's been developing a plan. He hasn't waited just till the door opens. Right. Some of you right now, God has spoke to you a long time ago about starting a business, a new career, doing something, and you've been waiting for the right time. Guess what? The right time starting was yesterday, and that was when you should be praying, aligning, and planning for what God wants, because somebody may come up to you and say, what can I do for you? I feel like I'm supposed to invest in you for something that God has laid on your heart. Now, if you haven't done the numbers, if you don't have that plan, I got some things in the back of my mind. If somebody would come up and say, hey, I want to give a big contribution to the Father's house. Where are some special needs? Man, I got 3 or 4 places I can rattle off right now. I'm not going to wait till that happens and then run to the team and say, hey, where are the needs? I want to know in advance, because I know that I serve a God that's so powerful that he can make a way when there seems no way at all. Wow, that was for somebody. I didn't say that in the first service, okay? Verse 7, furthermore, don't you love the gumption of this kid? Furthermore, Lord, King, if you're going to send me, how about you give me some letters of endorsement so when I go through these nations that they can let me through? Okay? Verse 8. And by the way, if it's not asking too much, could you have Asa, the keeper of the forest, to go ahead and cut down timbers for the rebuilding of the gates and the house that I'll occupy? And the king looked at him and said, are you out of your ever-loving mind? You're wanting to take all that time off? You're wanting money, you're wanting letters, you want who's gonna be my cupbearer while you're going? You're the best cupbearer I ever had. But look at the, you see, you shortcut God. You think that God's only working on your side. He's already preparing for what he's going to have you to do. And he's already in advance preparing finances, open doors, and things in your life so that you can fulfill what he's wanted you to do. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God. Here's what the Lord said to me early this morning when I was studying this. He said, tell the people to recognize where they are and that I put them there for a particular season. See, some of you are in a place where you don't like where you are right now. We're in Leesburg. I love Leesburg. Last week we were in the Northwest, Seattle, Tacoma, a meeting out there. It was nice, you know, Mount Rainier, nice, cool 50 to 60 degree weather. Whew, that was nice. Do you know what? It wasn't home. It wasn't where God put me. I sort of get upset when people say, well, I live in Sleesburg of all places. I've got this job I hate. Why did I ever move to the villages? Why did I ever do this? But you see, here's what I believe. People that have given their heart to God, God can move you to a place that may be uncomfortable for you. Because down the road, God sees somebody that's going to need a word that you have. And so you're struggling. I like this job. I don't want this place. I don't like these kids. I don't like this. I don't like something else. But what if God is positioning you for at the right time that he can leverage you, that he's already got his man or woman inside where the kingdom of Satan is ruling and reigning? What if he's preparing you for something that's beyond anything that you've ever known of before? And so the Lord said to tell you today, you just need to relax. You just need to know that you are where you are right now. It's not by accident that you're here. The scripture says in Acts that he sets our geographical locations. And there it is, God's wanting to use you. His hand is upon you. I know this, the surest way to experience God's hand is to seek his heart. So Nehemiah was willing to pay the price. It's going to be a 900-mile journey by walking or camels. It's not a jet, all right? Well, it's going to take him anywhere from 2 months to 4 months. It's going to be hot. It's going to be dangerous. He's leaving the king's palace. He has the best bed, best room, best food. He hangs out with the king all the time because he becomes a confidant to the king. But when God touches your life, says, I've got something bigger for you. You can turn your back on the money. You can turn your back on the position. You say, okay. Just willing, Lord. I'll do that. Some of you, when you first stepped out into your career, I mean, you had a good security before you started your own business. And there was all the things of, well, so many businesses are failing. What if I fail? What if this doesn't work? But yet you were willing to turn your back on the security from someone else to be in the place where God wanted to position you for what he wants to do next. Too many of you are looking to get out of this area instead of being settled and knowing that God has got something great for your life. Wow. Jesus went about in the villages and the city, Matthew 9, and he saw people that were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said, truly, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. Do you know how it ends? Say it with me. Send out laborers into his harvest. He said, I'm asking you to partner with me, that there's so many needs in my kingdom around the world, that I'm asking you to pray every day, Lord, send forth laborers into the field. Anita and I use the app every day that we pray for different areas around the world. What's it called? What's that? Joshua Project. Thank you for helping me. Every day, it's a different people group around the world. You can do, it's very easy to get the Joshua Project. And every day, we pray for a different one. And I pray, Lord, I pray for them today. I don't know where that place is, maybe, or I don't even know those people. But you asked me to pray for laborers in the harvest field. Some of the times, they'll say something so sad. They'll say, as far as we know, there's no gospel message in this area. As far as we know, that there's no light shining in this area. But I know this, that the scripture says that before he comes, there will be a great harvest of every tongue, every nation, every kindred. And I'm saying, okay, God, send laborers. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is, but I just pray that you'd send them to where that you're going to reap a harvest. Following God's call is going to cost you something. Cost you comfort, convenience, control. But are you willing to pay the price for what God has put in your heart? Are you willing to pay the price for what God has put in your heart? Hold that stone in your hand, okay? As you hold that stone, as you look at it, I want you to just, in your spirit, just say, God, what have you put in my heart to build, to do? And then you end the thing with just, send me. I'm in. Number two, Nehemiah assesses the need. He didn't start a speech. He started with a walk. He spent 3 days walking, looking at the city, investigating. In other words, what he's saying is, don't allow your history to dictate your future. Don't let where you've been dictate your future. We say around here, you can join in and finish it for me when I say it. We're a church that cares where you're going, not you've been. I look at some of you, I was talking to Travis a few minutes ago, and I said, Travis, you caused me to bless God to see what God and where he's brought you through. And I look at so many of you, I could just point after person, after person, after person. And a few years ago, no one would have believed that you are where you are now. That you're sitting here. Some of you have been here for 2 services. Some of your heart is so sensitive to the needs of God. You'd be willing to do whatever he wants you to do. So don't allow your past to dictate your future. Nehemiah saw what was actually, and he didn't just settle for that. Let's just massage that a little bit more. Let's look at verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night. The word there, night, is the Hebrew word layil, which means I arose in the time of testing, in the time of damage, in the time of struggle. He said it was in the middle of the night. While everybody else was sleeping, Nehemiah gets up with a burden. While everybody else was waiting for the next day to be like every other day, while everybody else is saying, I'm going to sleep tonight, tomorrow's not going to change, it's going to be the same that it is. But on that particular night, God touched Nehemiah's heart, and he was out viewing the ruins. Why? Because God was saying, yep, the past has been the past, but it's not going to stay there because you stepped out in faith and you're believing. So he said, I began walking through the city at night, and he said, there was nobody with me, and I didn't tell anybody, my God, what he put in my heart. I went out by night through the valley gate, and he said, I began to view the walls. See that word view? It's the word shabar, which means to scrutinize, to look deeply. It's actually a medical term that when you go to a doctor, for instance, Dr. Mitchell over here, one of the best surgeons we have in the country, he did a knee replacement for me several months ago. So when we went in the first time, he began to scrutinize my knee. Well, what's the pain level? Of course, at that time, it was swollen up, and he stuck this huge needle about 3 foot long into my knee and all of that. But what he was doing, he's a professional. He had to get beyond what he could just see on the outside. What's the mobility? How will we do that? He began to scrutinize. You go to a doctor, you have a wound. What does he do? He just doesn't patch the wound up. He begins to inspect that. He begins to look at that. So Nehemiah is looking with eyes of faith to what God could do with what looks like that it's broken. For some of you right now, it looks like your life, your marriage, your family is a broken mess. But I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit, Nehemiah's name, Nakan, which means comforter. He represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying today, let me view that area. Let me help you with that area. Because God is able to take what is broken, what is ruined, and he's able to reestablish that into something like you've never seen before. So he said, I went out by the fountain gate, and there was no room for the animal under me, so I went up by the night into the valley. He said, I began making all those different directions. He's taking time to see things clearly. Before you build a relationship, change a habit, pursue a calling, you have to see what's broken down. What is God saying that needs to be rebuilt in me first? So the challenge this week is to carry that little stone with you and go for a prayer walk this week. If you got things that needs to be rebuilt in your life, in your family, in your business, just hold that little stone, take it with you. Don't forget to bring it back next week. We're going to keep talking about it. Just hold that stone in your hand and begin walking around and saying, Lord, let me see with eyes of faith what you really want to do in my life, in my family, in my business. Number three, share the vision. He didn't just assess the need, but he shared the vision. He began to build a team. Nehemiah was wise enough to know the process of rebuilding. He had to have a team. He couldn't do it by himself. There was no way. How could you do that? Some of these walls were 20 feet across. 20 feet. And these boulders, these stones were. So there's no way he could do it by himself. When I look at here today, what's here at the Father's house, there's no way. There's no way that I could ever do it by myself. There's no way you could be who you are right now by yourself. There's people that have helped you, supported you. If you're long-term, somebody has been your support. So let's look at this. Verse 12, he said, so I rose in the night and didn't tell anybody what was going on. And then in verses 16, and the officials didn't know where I'd gone. The nobles didn't know where I was gone. Who did the work? Then I said, you see the distress that we're in. So the first thing he said, I went out and I looked. So there's really three things that we see that he did. First of all, it's a time of being just face up. Face up to the reality. Nehemiah didn't go out there and say, well, you know, I blame everybody else. But he faced up. This is a task that God has asked me to do. When we started the Father's House 30 years ago, there were one book on church growth, Elmer Towns. It wasn't really all that great. I didn't know. I mean, I had no idea what to do. But I thank God how that he sent people into our life to help us along that way. And it wasn't just me by myself. He would send somebody along and say, well, you know, we know how to do this. We know how to do something else. And we had to face up. This is bigger than me. Some of you this morning need to face up to the reality of your life where you are right now. You spent all your money and all your time amassing you, who you can be, how famous you will be, how many houses you can have, how many cars you can be, what position you can have, how the people respect you. You spend all the time doing that and your life is falling apart. The secret areas of your life are crumbling. This morning, the Lord is saying through the Holy Spirit, you got to face up to the reality. If you continue on the path you're on right now, you're going to wreck your life and your family's life and affect your generations to come after you. It's time to face up and simply say, I have a need in my life. I'm not going to continue to go the way that I am. At the end of this service today, we'll have two prayers. And one is going to be for people who say, there's something in my life I need to face up to. I've kept it as a secret. I haven't talked about it. I had this dream. I haven't mentioned it to anybody else. I've just sort of held it to myself. I think of Thurman, you and Simone. When you had your shop in Orlando and the Lord brought you guys here and you're a school counselor, but God laid on your heart to start this cherry blossoms spa. Did I get the right words? I remember you talking to us about it. Because God showed you a vision that people would be sitting in your chair with no hope, and you'd speak to them. took a risk to step out. But how many people, because of you obeying God, has he redeemed their life and he's brought them to the Father's house? Some of you today need to face up to the reality that God's got a plan for your life bigger than what you have for yourself. Second of all, he said, we need to team up. I can't do this by myself. And thirdly, he said, we're just going to look up to God, verse 18. I told him the hand of God was upon me of what we could do in the midst of all of this. D.L. Moody said, I'd rather get 10 men to do the work than to do the work of 10 men. Can I say it? Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. The dream God put in your heart is bigger than you. You need people who will pray for you, challenge you, build alongside of you. Isolation kills vision. Community fuels it. In just a couple weeks, I guess, we're going to start signing up for life groups. That's a good place for you to be, not isolate yourself. I mean, look, it's impossible for you to isolate yourself on this campus. You come on this campus and you got those great parking hosts out there that smile. They're directing you. You got the people at the front door smiling. You got people hugging you. You got people shaking your hand. And I'm telling you, it's impossible for you to feel isolated in this house. Now, it's not impossible. You can make it happen yourself. You can be so grumpy yourself, so isolated yourself, that I mean, if anybody smiles at you, you're just like ready to throat punch them because that's you. You're just negative Nelly. Life sours and stinks. But it's going to be hard for you to isolate yourself in this place because somebody's going to come up to you and give you a smile. Somebody's going to come up to you and say, wow, it's great to see you. I'm just going to tell you, one of the ways you don't become isolated is you join a life group. You let people know who you are. Somebody knows you. They know your destiny, your purpose. Now, and number four, might as well expect resistance. When you get ready to step out for God, you get ready to do anything, expect resistance. So he said in verse 19, we went, and he said, but Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, and they laughed at us, and they were upset because we came to do God's work. Listen, remember this. I'm just going to spend just a second on this because we're going to cover it in another couple of weeks. Don't confuse resistance with rejection. It's confirmation that you're on the right path. Number five, stay committed. Refuse to quit. Stay focused. Get rid of negative Nellies out of your life. So here it is. Tobiah, Geshem, an Arab said, hey, what are you guys doing? You ain't going to do anything. If you build this, later on they say, and I think it's chapter four, later on, if a fox runs over the top of the wall's going to fall. How many buildings, how many walls have you built, Nehemiah? But Nehemiah didn't debate them. He didn't try to defend himself. See, that's what we did. We spend some time. The devil, if he can't get you not to start something for God, he'll try to get you in the place where you got to spend all your time defending. But Nehemiah doesn't defend. He just says in verse 20, so I answered them, and I said, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, make us successful. Therefore, we are his servants. You see, that's the key. We're his servants. We're not the boss. We're his servants. I'm not the boss here. I'm just a servant. Many of you know that next March, we will transition this house, the Father's house, and it'll become the Father's house, a Rock USA church. We'll become part of four other churches, soon to be five other churches. That's part of the Rock USA with Pastor Kevin, Melissa, and the other team. Now, if it's up to me, I'm enjoying what we're doing. I'm enjoying the growth. I'm enjoying getting to know you and walk with you. If it was up to me, I'm 75. If it's up to me, I'd say, I could probably handle this till I'm 80, 85, 90, you know, man. I mean, Dr. Mitchell gave me a new knee, so I'm okay. But I also know how unfair that would be to be so selfish. And I also know that the boss has said to me, that's not what you're doing. You're preparing something so beautiful, and you're going to pass the baton unto a younger generation that's going to be able to take the Father's house, a Rock USA church, to places you haven't been able to go. Be multiple services, Terry. There'll be multiple locations. What I started with you, I will finish. Maybe not with Kevin, but someone else. Because you see, what we're building here is something that's going to last. When we first started this church, I met with some pastors, just let them know he's coming to town. One pastor looked across the table at me and said, we don't need any more churches in our city. You are not needed and you're not welcome. I bought his breakfast and we set the meeting off pretty quick. I didn't come here because he asked me. And I told him, I said, Pastor, I'm not here to take any of your people. I thought, well, if that's the attitude you have, I wouldn't want your people anyway. Just saying. That church is defunct. Pastor works at a job. I'm not responsible for other people's decisions. I'm responsible to answer what God has. So I know we're doing right. And I know God is going to do that. Because more than anything else, I want to please the one who died for me. The one who called me to preach. I was just a kid, five years old. I remember to this day, I can remember the smell and the feeling of walking out in the cornfield of Illinois as a teenager, kneeling in the corn stalks in the dirt and saying, Lord, if you can use me, I really would like for you to use me. That time I thought, you know, I'm going to the Air Force. I'm going to do this. I was in the Air Force ROTC. I'll go ahead and get my degree, do whatever. And I had all those thoughts in the back of my mind. But in my heart was, I couldn't see it at that time. But I saw you. I saw what God wanted to do here. And you know what? I'm so thankful that I just said, whatever you want to do with me. And I'm just asking you to do that today. Say, God, whatever you want, just keep showing up when it's hard, when it's slow, when it's lonely. Can you grab that stone in your hand again? And let's just look at that. Nehemiah didn't just dream, he built. I challenge you to have relentless faith for what God is speaking to you. I mean, I feel something in this service I didn't really even, I felt some of it in the last service. But there's some of you today that this teaching has become so real into your heart. I mean, God is really, really speaking to you today. And in just a minute, I want to pray for you. And I'm praying that what God is burning in your heart, that you're willing to step beyond comfort and pay the price. So this week, I'm going to ask you to carry that stone around, put it somewhere where you see it, bring it back with you next week. Don't wait for perfect walls. Nehemiah didn't wait for perfect day while everybody else was sleeping. He was out walking. God's hand is on you. Just say that. God's hand is on me. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I just want you to know God's hand is on me. Has nothing to do with me. It's God's hand. Rise and build. Let your stone be a mark of legacy for eternity. The choice is yours. Choose today. Would you bow your heads with me? There's some of you here today and God spoke to you already. And you know he did. And somewhere in this teaching, he laid something on your heart. See, you may be a teenager in this house and you've been planning all the things that you're going to do with your life because that's what was expected of you in your family. But what if God calls you to a mission field? What if God calls you to another city to pioneer a church? What if God calls you in a totally different line of work? And you say, yeah, but man, I got so much baggage coming with me. Are you kidding me? When you show me one person in the Word that didn't have a lot of baggage that God brought with him. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more important and rewarding in this life than to know exactly you're where God wants you to be. So first of all, I want to pray for those of you today that God is speaking to you right now. So as you hold that tightly, that stone tightly in your hand, I just want you to say, send me, Lord. I'm available. Now, as you continue to pray this morning, Lord, I pray for those that just prayed that prayer. God, open the door. Show them, Lord. But next of all, I want to pray for those of you that say, you know what, Terry, I need to face up to the reality that I can't continue my life the way it is right now. I've tried to change and do things, but man, if I continue to go the way that I am, I can see that it's just not right. So I want to lead you in a prayer today. God knew you'd be here today. It's not an accident that you're here. By the way, thank you for coming. It's just so good to see each of you here. Next week, just think, who can I bring? Who can I invite? Every chair, empty chair is a mission field. But you're not here by accident. You're here because God is calling you. He wants to come into your life. And God knew there's no way you could get to him. So he sent his son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die for your sins and my sins. On the cross, he carried my sins and yours, and he died. They put him in a borrowed tomb. But you see, God takes things that are burned out, things that are broken, and he restores them. On the third day, he rose from the grave, never again to be put down. He rose from the grave to join together a team around him called his disciples, his church. He says, I want you to go. I want you to reach that person. And so today, the Holy Spirit has sent me to tell you that you've been on his radar, and he knew you were here today. And he wanted me to pray with you and give you a chance to surrender your life to him. It's the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do a very personal thing, because it just means a lot to me more than anything else today, more than teaching, preaching, anything else, is that I can pray with you right now to see this life's decision, because I know that there's no other name whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, Terry, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I need to say yes to the Lord. I got to face up to the reality, and I want to look up and I want to look up to God. If that's you today and you say, Terry, would you include me in this prayer? Would you raise your hand and make eye contact with me? I want to see where you're sitting. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Others today, thank you. Down here in the front, thank you. All right, over here in the back, thank you. Thank you. Over here, over to your right, Dennis. We have some in the back over here. Thank you. They're coming by right now to give you some materials, because I want to join with you on this. I want to be part of your team to help you. So just keep your hand up until they give you this material, because this is just some resource that I can come alongside you and team up with you. I love to team up. Thank you. Thank you, ushers. Man, you guys are so great. Such a wonderful job. Thank you for serving. Pray this prayer with me today. Father God, I love you with all my heart. You could have left me in my mess, but you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. I ask you to forgive me, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, as best as I know how, I want to serve you all the days of my life. Church, would you celebrate with me with those hands that were raised today? Come on.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.